Well, good morning. It's lovely to see you in God's house this morning. This final day of 2023, we do welcome you in the Saviour's name, and we pray that the Lord will bless us. The Lord will be with us as we're here today. Let's take our hymn books, please. We're turning to the paraphrase section, the paraphrase 65. The paraphrase 65, you'll find it in the page 169. Not only are we considering praise and giving thanks unto the Lord this evening, even for what he's done, but we want to praise him throughout today. And this morning we're going to consider praise in heaven. And this is a very suitable paraphrase to sing. Behold the glories of the Lamb amidst his Father's throne. Prepare new honours for his name and songs before unknown. The paraphrase 65, and I know it's a bit long, but we'll sing it all together. The wonderful words even to consider this morning.
Glory.
We'll look to the Lord in prayer. We'll still ourselves in His presence. Wonderful words even to meditate upon what we've been singing. We're coming around that throne where the Lamb is enthroned in glory. Let's remember that even as we unite together. Father in heaven, we bow in Thy presence. What a joy even it is to picture in it our minds that there amongst the 24 elders, there amongst the 10,000 upon 10,000s, is the Lamb as it had been slain. We thank Thee for the One who was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the One upon whom our chastisement was laid. By His stripes we have been healed. We thank Thee for Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the One who was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The One who took our sin. The One who was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The One who died and was buried. The One who rose from the dead. The One who this day is worthy to take the book and to open the seals. Father, we praise Thee this day for salvation. We praise Thee for the plan of salvation. We praise Thee, O God, for the purpose of salvation, to redeem a people unto Thyself. We praise Thee for the perfection of it. We praise Thee for the permanence of it. We rejoice, O God, that we are saved and we are kept by the grace of God. We gather in this, the last Lord's Day of this year, and we thank Thee, O God, for Thy goodness and for Thy mercy. We thank Thee for that personal union that we have with Christ Jesus, the communion that we can have with our God in heaven. We thank Thee for the mediator who stands at Thy right hand to intercede in our behalf. We thank Thee for the comfort and the encouragement that is, to know there is One who not only hears our prayers, but then presents them to the Father in heaven. We rejoice this day in our Saviour. We rejoice in the Godhead. We thank Thee this day for the acceptance we have in Christ, the invitation to come to Thee and to even bow before Thee. We thank Thee, Lord, for everything that Thou hast been to us this year. We thank Thee for Thy protection. We thank Thee for Thy presence, for Thy blessing. We thank Thee that Thou hast been good even unto us. Thou hast been faithful towards Thy people. We thank Thee, O God, in mountaintops and in valleys. The Lord has been with us. Even as we went through the waters and the rivers, they never overflowed us or flooded us. Even when we were in the fires, we were not burned, because the Lord was with us. And Father, we raise our Ebenezers. We simply say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Lord, even as this year comes to an end and this final Lord's Day, we thank Thee that we are in the house of God. We thank Thee, Lord, for watching over us, for bringing us even here safely today. We pray for Thy hand upon us, even as we seek to worship and to praise. As our thoughts are drawn towards praise in particular, Lord, we pray that both morning and evening that we will know our hearts touched, our hearts warmed by the Spirit of God, that we will worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, we acknowledge we have much to praise and to thank Thee for. Enable us to do so today, O God. Enable us to sing with hearts that are full. O God, enable us to lift our eyes heavenward, to give Thee all of the honor and all of the glory. Father, we think of prayers that have been offered up over many months, yea, maybe even years. We think of loved ones as this year comes to an end that are still out of Christ. And Father, we do thank Thee that souls have been saved in this year. We thank Thee that prayers have been answered in this year. But Father, we think of others that are still out of Christ without a Saviour. O God, go after them. Have mercy even in this final day of the year. May it be a day of salvation. May it be a day of visitation when God visits this house with salvation and precious souls. O Father, we pray that Thou wilt hear and that Thou wilt answer prayer. Remember the sake of our congregation. Lord, remember those who can't be with us. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast undertaken for them. We thank thee for those that are out of hospital. We praise thee for this. We pray for that full recovery of health, even in the days to come, that thou wilt watch over them, that thou wilt strengthen them and undertake for them. We think of those that are mourning, Lord. Lord, a year's coming to an end and a loved one, a seat now is empty. Oh, that thou wilt be very near unto them, that thou wilt fill that home, that thou wilt fill their hearts with the comfort and with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Father, that thou wilt be very near and very real even to them in these days. Lord, remember us for good. Bless us this day in thy house. Oh, that we will know the presence of God. Oh, that we will know the help of the Lord. That this will be a day of blessing. That this will be a day of joy, even in the house of the Lord. Hear and answer prayer. Be unto us all that we need. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The hymn number 6. We'll sing together at this time. The hymn number 6. The page 177. Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring. The hymn number 6. We'll stand as we sing, please. I invite you to open your Bibles in the final book of the Scriptures, the book of Revelation, and the chapter 5. Revelation and the chapter 5. These are wonderful words, not only to read, but to meditate upon. Revelation chapter 5, the verse 1. The Word of God says, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came, and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. When he had taken the book, the four beasts, and the four and the 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign in the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the four and the 20 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and forever. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. We welcome you in the Savior's name. It is so good to see each one that's gathered in the house of God today, and we want to welcome you. We want to thank you for coming. And we do pray that the Lord will bless us and the Lord will be with us as we're here in his house today. Those that are visiting, a number of visitors with us this morning, we give you a special welcome. We pray that the Lord will draw near to you, even as you're here in the house of God with us today. I do remember the announcements both for today and for the incoming week. And tonight is our evening service at 7 p.m. and it is taking the form of a praise service as we give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his mercy upon the congregation here over this last year. We're looking forward to it as various works will be represented. We'll have different reports from them, different items of praise as well, and then I'll bring a closing word at the end of the meeting. We do invite you and encourage you to come back again tonight, to come and to hear of how the Lord has undertaken and helped and encouraged in each one of the works, prayers that have been offered, prayers that have been answered. And so do remember that even this evening, and remember even to come at 6:30 if you can, and to pray with us in the upper room and seek the Lord's blessing. And then immediately after the service tonight, there is a cup of tea and a time of fellowship, one with the other. And we do invite you even to come to that as well. Then there is no Monday night Awana. There is no Tuesday night children's meeting, still in the break at this Christmas period. But on Wednesday evening we'll be meeting together in our upper room to study God's word and to have a time of prayer together. And the will of the Lord, I'll be here to conduct that meeting. And let me invite you and encourage you to come. Even set it in your heart that in the new year, right from the very first opportunity that you can be with us in the upper room on a Wednesday night, set it in your heart before the Lord that your desire is to be there. Your desire is to study God's word. Your desire is to even take part and join with your brethren and sisters in prayer that the Lord will move and the Lord will bless in 2024. Then we remind you on Saturday night, youth reaches back on at 7:30. And we encourage you to remember that work amongst the youth of this area, that the Lord will continue his hand of blessing upon it. The Sabbath school and the Bible class is still on break next Sunday. And therefore the first meetings in the next and the first Lord's Day of the new year, we will have the regular times of worship of 11:30 and 7 p.m. Remembering, of course, the times of prayer before both services. And the will of the Lord, I'd be here to conduct those meetings. Next Sunday morning, we'll be bringing the motto text for 2024. We'll also have the dates for the diary, all of the plans that have been made by the session, all of the meetings, the special times throughout the year. We'll have a little card with all of those on them for you to take with you, that you can have it not only to pray over the motto text, but even to have it set, that you know the special times and to be praying for the Lord's blessing in those times throughout the year when special meetings are being held. So that'll be next Sunday morning. Also after the service next Sunday, it will be a time around the Lord's table, starting off the new year, even remembering the Lord's death afresh. And again, we remind you of that and encourage all of God's children to be setting themselves and even having that desire to be in God's house, but also to be around God's table, remembering the Lord's death until he come. Retiring offering next Sunday is for the building fund, and we do remind you of that as well. Then the evening service, 7 p.m, and the time of prayer at 6:30. Final announcement for the book by our brother Victor Maxwell on the Belfast Boy in Brazil. It's a book of appreciation for the life of Bill Woods. And if there's any left, I'm not too sure how many's left. There's four left. And I've one here, so you can get one. If you can't get any on the table, there's one here. And they're priced at £7. Please, if you like one, today is the final announcement for it. So please take it with you and see your brother James. Any outstanding monies as well, do see James and seek to square them up as soon as possible. I've been announcing that for the last number of weeks. And then we got home and realised last week that we've one of the calendars and we haven't yet squared James up for it. So I need to address that issue ourselves. Never mind simply looking to you to address the issue. But do seek to square all the monies, whether it be for calendars or for books, even with our brother James in the days to come. We do mention to you as well again, as we did last week, there is a need going forward into the new year for individuals to take on the work of the cleaning of the church. We're thankful there has been some interest already shown, mention has been made. But if you'd like to be part of a team or of a rota going forward, then please do mention to either myself or to one of the elders, preferably today, so that plans can be made for the weeks that are incoming. And if you can address that, if you'd like to be part of a team, helping out in that practical way, the cleaning maybe of a part of the church you'd like to take on, or maybe on a rota basis, then do speak to us, please, about that issue. Continue to remember those that are sick in your prayers. We're thankful our sister Kathy got out of hospital, and also our sister Susan Boyle is also home from hospital. And so do pray that the Lord's hand will be upon them in the days to come, and others that we have been remembering in these days as well, that they will know that full recovery of health. We do seek to wish each and every one a very happy new year, a blessed new year, each one individually and even as a church together. May we know the blessing of the Lord. May we know the presence and the power of God. May you know it in your homes. May May we know it in this house that 2024 will be a blessed time when God visits, when God comes amongst us, when souls are saved, when we grow. I put this challenge to you, as I've done every year of my ministry. At the end of a year, look back and think, where were you spiritually in January of 2023? Where are you now? Have you grown? Have you grown in grace and in knowledge of your Lord and Saviour? Each child of God, it's a challenge to us all, myself included, that we look back on a year and we say before the Lord, are we further along with thee? Do we know more of thee? Has our hearts grown for thee? Do we love our Lord and our Saviour more than we did? May we know, even as we search our own hearts, and may we therefore seek, even in the year to come, that we will grow, that our knowledge, our love, our devotion, our dedication will grow for the things of God and for the person of Jesus Christ. That we will know personal revival before we know anything else in this area, that we will know it personally within our own hearts. If we're not saved, may this be the year, maybe even today, may this be the day when you close in with the Lord. May families be united in Christ. May the Lord bless us in the year to come. May we know much of his blessing. Let's take our hymn books. We'll sing a few verses as we lift our tithes and our offerings. A hymn number 9. With harps and with viols there stands a great throng in the presence of Jesus, and sing this new song. Unto him who have loved us, washed us from sin, unto him be glory forever. Amen. Remain seated for the first part of the hymn, please. Let's have our Bibles open in the book of Revelation in the chapter 5. Revelation in the chapter 5. spending our day in the theme of phrase, or of praise. This evening we're going to be looking at the praise on earth. This morning we want to look at the praise of heaven. And so with our Bibles open, let's just ask the Lord to come and to minister, and to speak on to our hearts. Speak to us personally, even through his word. Father, we bow before thee and we thank thee for what thou hast revealed to us in Scripture. We thank thee, O God, for this book. We thank thee for the glory that we are even invited to enter in and to see. And Father, we pray thee, even as we come around it this morning, as we come to consider it, to meditate upon it, that thou, O God, wilt come and minister to our hearts. May it not simply be a head knowledge today, but rather, O God, that thy word will enter into the very depths of our hearts. Lord, that thou wilt work within us by thy Spirit, that thou wilt even now empty us of self and of sin and fill us with thy Spirit. Give us that help, that power, that ability even to preach, that ability to hear and to receive thy word. And Father, that Christ will be uplifted, that he will be glorified. Hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. When Queen Victoria had just ascended to the throne, she went, as the custom was for royalty, to hear the Messiah being sung. She had been instructed as to her conduct, that she as queen was not to rise when all others stood for the singing of the Hallelujah chorus. When that magnificent chorus was being sung, the singers were shouting, "Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." It was clear that she was struggling to remain seated. It seemed as if she would rise in spite of the custom, the custom that had been followed by many kings and queens. Finally, when they came to the part of the chorus where with the shout they proclaim him to be King of Kings, the young Queen Victoria rose and stood with her head bowed. It was as if she would even take off that great crown and simply lay it at the feet. What a spectacle it would have been to have been there, to see the young queen in obedience, worship even unto God. We come to this time even in the book of Revelation. And what was there in Queen Victoria's days, nothing compared to what we've read this morning. Whenever we come to Revelation 5, we're entering into heaven itself. We're entering into the greatest praise that has ever been offered. And I think of John the Apostle, and I think of what he saw and what he had heard in his life. Even in the years of the ministry of Christ, I think of the great song as Christ entered into Jerusalem, and all of the palm leaves are cut down and they're laid upon the road, and all of the coats are there before the Lord as he comes in upon that donkey. And the great song that is sang, "Hosanna, glory to God in the highest." My, what a spectacle that must have been. What an uplifting time of praise and adoration. I think of the very personal, the very private time of praise. I think of the institution of the Lord's Supper. I think of the singing of the hymn after the time of the eating together, the Son of God singing praise unto his Father. What must that have been to hear the voice of God in song, in praise and in love and in adoration? Revelation 5 brings us to a whole new dimension. Takes us out of the earthly and brings us into the heavenly. It takes us out of ordinary worship and it brings us into the extraordinary. Because you have the greatest setting being used for the greatest song to be sung by the greatest Savior the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise in heaven. Three things I want to leave with you in relation to it. Firstly, I want you to look with me at the setting for this praise. The setting for this praise, you come to this particular part and you have to merge chapter 4 and chapter 5 together. As John is caught up into heaven in the Spirit, he records all that he sees. Picture it in your mind. There's a throne in heaven. It's in the center. There's one who sits upon it. It's majestic. It's a seat of power. It's a seat of authority. It's a seat of majesty. When you look at it around the throne, there is a rainbow. The rainbow signifies to us the mercy and the grace of a covenant-making and a covenant-keeping God. Of course, the rainbow was given in the aftermath of the flood. That promise, that sign to us that God would never, ever flood the entire earth again. And God's word has always been kept. And so it shows us the mercy, the restraining grace of God. So there around the throne of grace there is a rainbow. But there around the throne of grace you have the 4 and the 20 elders. They're sitting in a circle around that throne. They represent the church of Jesus Christ. They represent the saints of God. We have the Old Testament parallel given to us first. Chronicles 24, the verses 3 to 5, it speaks about the 24 courses of the priest for the Old Testament temple. Here you have in glory, you have the 24 elders. You have the 4 and the living beasts. The lion, the calf, the man, the eagle. It speaks of God's creation and God's covenant with all of creation. Because whenever you look at it in relation and then you parallel it with the words that are given to Noah, God's covenant to Noah in Genesis 9, the verses 9 and 10, where God speaks to Noah and he says, I establish my covenant with you. There's the man. With your seed after you and with every living creature that is with you. Off the fowl, there's the eagle. Off the cattle, there's the calf. And of every beast, there's the lion. So the covenant that's made in the book of Genesis, the covenant-making, covenant-keeping God, the covenant's still there in the final book of the Bible. Out of the throne proceeds lightnings and thunder. Voices, indications, reminders of God's infinite power and justice. Before the throne there are 7 lamps and there's a sea of glass. It speaks to us of the Holy Spirit, the fire of God. The sea of glass, the water signifies his purity. That's all in chapter 4 and into chapter 5. Now in this setting in chapter 5, John lifts his eyes further. Because he now stands and looks upon one who steps forth in the midst. He sees a lamb as it had been slain. This lamb with the 4 beasts, the 4 and 20 elders. And then as his eyes peer outwards and further from around the throne itself, he sees the elders, yes, he sees the beast, yes, but then there's an innumerable multitude of angels. And there's all the children of God that have went to glory. And it's 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands upon thousands. And John, he just sees on the whole sea, face upon face, person after person, all of them, and all of their eyes are upon one, the Lamb. Nothing else takes their attention. Nothing else takes their interest. All of the 10,000 times 10,000, every single individual, all is focused. The Lamb is in the midst. And He is worthy. John, when he first got to glory, he looked around. He saw there's not one man in heaven or in earth that is worthy to open the book. But then when Christ steps forth, every eye beholds, every heart is fixed. And the song is sang. What a setting it is. What a place, what a picture, what a prospect. But I thought of this. What a reality. For every child of God that has died in Christ. Because they're already there. Looking upon their Saviour. The one who died for them. The one who redeemed them. In glory they stand amongst the multitude. And they look upon their Lamb. Who died, who redeemed them, and who called them. And who brought them home. What a setting. But then secondly, in the verse 9, I see the song of praise. So it tells us they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, tongue, people, nation. Into this picture, as John writes it, has entered the Lamb of God as it had been slain. The Greek word here for slain has been translated in the King James Version, that it has been translated from the Greek at times as butchered, as slaughtered, wounded, killed. And surely that gives us the thinking, that gives us the meditation of Isaiah 53. The one who was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the one who's brought as a lamb to the slaughter. There is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord, as the Lamb of God, is acknowledged in glory as being the only one in all of heaven and all of earth as being worthy to open the seals of the book. Christ takes that book in his hand, causes a song to break out. The song that is sung is described as being a new song. Sang like no other. Because when you look at it, you look at the depth of its doxology. You look at the depths of its theology. You look at the depths of its Christology. Everything that is said in this new song is pointing to Christ. It is a hymn of worship. Because it begins with the words, Thou art worthy. What does worship actually mean? Worship simply means worth-ship. Whenever you worship something, you're acknowledging that something is worth it. Something is worth your adoration. Something is worth your praise. Whenever we come to the glory, not seen in glory around the throne, the Lamb steps forward and the first words that are uttered in song, Thou art worthy. Thou art worth it. It's a worship hymn, but I see also it's a gospel hymn. Because it says, Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. It's a wonderful thought. The songs of heaven are about the cross. and about the blood. You think of that for a moment. We live in days whenever the preaching of the cross, the mention of the blood, is being separated and shut away. Individuals nowadays have no desire to hear about the cross. Ministers in pulpits today never mention the blood. And yet in heaven it fills every song. Every song takes us to Calvary. It's a worship hymn, a gospel hymn. I see also it's a missionary hymn. Because it says, out of every kindred, tongue, people, nation, God so loved the world that right across the world, souls from every kindred, souls from every nation, souls from every tribe, souls from every tongue are being saved. And in heaven, all that gather together, there'll be ones from Africa, from Asia, there'll be ones from Europe, America, North and South, there'll be ones from every single land. Every single religion, individuals that were brought up in a different darkness, in the different cults are saved out of them. Young and old are saved. And individuals from right across the world in the darkness and the depths of sin are redeemed out of it and brought into the family of God. And they all come together and they all join together in praise. May I think of it, God so loved the world, yes, and Christ commissioned the disciples to go into all the world, that from all the world he might save. It's a missionary hymn, but it's also a devotional hymn. Because it says, thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests. You take the time in your own to study 1 Peter 2. As a child of God, to understand who we are in Christ. Because here in heaven there is a full understanding of exactly who every child of God is in Christ Jesus. But then I see finally it's a prophetical hymn. Because it says we shall reign in the earth. I think of that petition in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come. In this regard it will be realized and fulfilled to its full extent. Because the kingdom of God will come. New heaven and new earth. And we will reign with Christ forever. My, what a hymn. What a new song is sang. Full of worship, full of praise. Centered completely upon Christ. None of it's about the individual. It's all about him. I mentioned this last week, so I don't want to go over what I've already gone over, but I do emphasize it again. Worship is never to be about you and how you feel. Worship is to be about him and all that he has done. Worship is never to be repetition, but rather it should be focused upon his redemption. Worship is not about how you feel. It's about what Christ has done. I think of that hymn that we sang this morning. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. To his feet thy tribute bring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like thee his praise should ring? Praise him. Praise him. Praise the ever lasting King. I wonder, when you sang that today, did you sing it from your heart? Was your heart saying, he is worthy? I love him. I worship him. I glory in him. I praise him. I honor him. Because that's what they sing in heaven. It's all about Christ. There's a setting for praise, a song of praise. Thirdly and finally, I want you to see the singers of praise. The singers of praise. Because verse 11 tells us, I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. You know, the song begins, it tells us verse 8 and verse 9, it begins around the throne. You notice it begins nearest the throne. It's having fallen down before the throne, they worship. The 4 and the 20 elders, along with the 4 beasts, is the 4 and the 20 elders who sing first. It's the representatives of the redeemed, and they sing with full hearts. Joy, worship. They can't even stand before the Lord. They fall upon their faces. They bow in adoration and in praise. And then that song begins, the 4 and 20 elders, and then the 4 beasts. And then just the noise rises and rises as it goes back in that tidal wave, as it were. Thousands upon thousands, about 10,000 upon 10,000, and it's just flowing back from the throne of heaven. The great cacophony of noise that rises, worthy is the Lamb. Great climax of praise. Great cacophony of noise. The 4 beasts around the throne in agreement just simply say, Amen. 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 Every singer, every verse, every part of the praise in heaven is focused and centered upon the Lamb. The one who was born in a stable, laid in a manger. The one known as the carpenter's son. The one who never owned a home. The one who didn't even have a donkey to ride upon. The one who suffered unspeakable indignity, unimaginable barbarity at the hands of his creation. The one who was butchered. The one who was slaughtered. The one who was made sin for us. The one who took the wrath of God. The one who died. The one who was buried. But now he's now in his exalted state, enthroned in glory forever. He is the vocal point, the center point of all of praise in heaven. I close with this question. Do you know him? And one day, will you join in that chorus in heaven? One day, will you stand around that throne? sing the song of the redeemed. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Is he your Saviour? Is he your Lord? Now, the more that we meditate upon heaven, more than we think of the splendor and the glory of it, the more it thrills my heart to think, out of everything in this world, all of the sin, the darkness of this world, not only will it never enter heaven, but it cannot even change heaven. All of the sin and the wickedness of man cannot take away from the joy, the love, and the worship that is ascribed to Christ. The heathen rage, the people imagine a vain thing. But the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And everyone's dealt with. Christ is there in the midst. And all of the angels and all of his host gathered around the Son of God. Worthy. Oh, if we're here today and saved, what a joy and an expectation is ours. But if you're here today and you're not saved, my friend, you'll never see Christ. Never see him in this exalted, glorified state. Never join together in that heavenly chorus. You'll only see him as judge. And he'll say, depart. Leave. I never knew you. You see the difference? Christ welcomes and gathers his people to be with him forever. But those that reject, Christ says, depart. Oh, my friend, even as this year comes to a close, be sure, be very sure that your anchor holds and grips the solid rock, Christ Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father, we bow in thy presence and we thank thee. Lord, what an expectation it is. What a comfort it is to know. Even now there's a song of praise that's being sung in heaven. To know that worship and adoration is being given unto the Son of God. We thank thee for the comfort, even in relation to those of our loved ones that are saved and gone on before us. To know that is where they are, in glory with thee. But Father, we pray that this word will even be a challenge to those that are still outside of Christ. They will realize, O God, that they can never be with thee in their sinful state, that they must turn. They must bow the knee. They must be saved. Oh, Father, write thy word upon our hearts. Take us to our homes in safety. Bring us again tonight. Bring others with us, O God, and give us a blessed time in thy house. In Jesus' name. Amen.